You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Hello and welcome to the Middlesex County Cricket League podcast. My name's Dan Huff from Twickenham. Very pleased to be talking to you with the season just days away. 34 long weeks of shopping or not shopping, just staying at home and looking at whatever's on the goggle box are coming to an end, and we'll soon be playing league cricket. So with that in mind, we're going to be talking about the forthcoming season. And I'm really pleased to be able to do that with three cricketing aficionados. As usual, I'm joined by Sal Ali from North London. Hi, Sal.
Good evening, Dan. How are you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
Yeah, not too bad. It's a bit wet at the moment, so I'm hoping this sort of goes by Saturday and we get some games played at the weekend.
Yeah, I have decamped to my living room rather than a conservatory because the sound of the rain on the conservatory was too damn loud to be able to do the pod, so that didn't bode well. But yeah, fingers crossed. Also joined by Matt Robinson from Actonians. Matt, how are you?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks. Dan, yeah, good to be here.
Good man. You retrieved your keys after yesterday. I hear a little bird tells me they got lost when you were playing cricket.
Yeah, somewhere in the outfield at Harrow Town or God knows where it's gone. But yeah, there was a mercy mission up there from my partner's mum to drop the spare key off. So yeah, it wasn't too much fun waiting in the car park there, but we managed to get home in the end.
Did you win the game, Matt?
Oh, that's the other thing. Yeah, we got a good trouncing, 9 wickets.
Oh, no.
9 wicket wins. Lost, so yeah, so it wasn't a day to remember, but yeah, such is life.
The only way is up. That's the way,
the way
to look at these things. Yeah,
all yeah, good. That's the one.
And finally, from Acton, Sahil Kerr. Sahil, how are you? You good?
Hi, Chabs. Nice to be back on. Wintering well. Just keen to get going now, to be honest. It's been long and cold and wet.
Yeah, and depressing in many ways, isn't it?
So
it really
indeed.
Is light at the end of the tunnel in all sorts of different ways. So, how have Acton done pre-season? I know you did, you gave someone a battering on the first day of the season, but so how have you done in the rest of your pre-season?
We'll put that down to Twickenham being under strength in the day, Dan.
Very generous.
Yeah, I think it's been all right. It's been a bit of a challenging pre-season, if I'm honest. We've had a bit of a rotten run with injuries, but it's all coming together quite nicely as a season approaches, as people slowly coming back. Tough game against Shepherd's Bush after Twickenham, but good workout, and then had a really good win against Wickham House this Saturday, who I think, as I'm sure we'll go on to discuss, will be there or thereabouts in Div 2.
Super. Good. How about you guys at Actonians? Robbo, have you had a good pre-season? Yesterday aside, have the games been good games, good results?
Yeah, we haven't played on our main pitch this year because we just wanted to for football and rugby to maximise their season because they only got going about a month ago. So we've been travelling all around the countryside playing Sunday friendlies. But on Saturday we had we played Chiswick in our first, second, third and fourth 11s. And yeah, first 11 had a great win. And the other three teams sort of, yeah, the fours had a win. The threes had a win, and the twos and fours had a loss. So yeah, we've had good numbers at training, and we had a few new people come through the door. So yeah, it's all looking pretty positive. We're looking forward to the season.
Super. And I think the results, much as we all like to win, and wins are, you know, it's good for confidence and whatnot, but pre-season is about getting people batting and bowling, isn't it?
Growing those cobwebs away. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. The results are a bit irrelevant, really. You're just getting people out there and seeing what new people can do. And, you know, you always get your bowlers who want to be a batsman in pre-season and your bowlers who want to be a batsman the other way around in pre-season. So, yeah, yeah. You always give people the opportunity to have a bit of a go. So,
Well, this winter at Twickenham, we had somebody called Deep Das Gupta come and join us. And I said, you're not that Deep Das Gupta, are you? And he said, no. But he apparently once joined a club in South Wales when he was working over there. And they thought he was. And he said there were 200 people came up to see his first net. And then they found out it wasn't. And he's in our force. So he's not the same Deep Das Gupta. He's a very funny guy. And he just said, yeah, they were a little disappointed. And Sal, North London, how's your pre-season gone?
Yeah, it's going well. I mean, obviously, we faced you guys last week, and you were a lot stronger than against Acton, and gave us quite a good beating in the end. But I think we compete for most of the game. Yeah, yeah.
It was competitive for three quarters of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we take, you know, Donald's dropped early on. If we take him out of the game, it could be an interesting finish. But all credit to him, you know, as a class batsman, you can't drop players like Don when he's done, like, you know, five or six runs. And then obviously, I think Ben Neil Green played very well. But yesterday we had a very good win against Highgate. We had five games against their teams and we won four out of the five. So that was a good day for the boys. And yeah, the ones looking good yesterday, posted a big total and then bowled them out quite cheaply. So yeah, I think we're in a good position, you know, ready for Saturday.
You had five friendly sides out on the same day.
Mm.
That is impressive.
We're playing Highgate, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess not far to go.
No, well, I mean, well, not for the fourth and the fifth. So we had to go to, I think, Botany Bay and maybe Douglas Air or Peter May. So, yeah.
No, great stuff. Great stuff. Mm. Cool. Right. Well, a lot of cricket ahead of us, folks. As everyone knows, the championship is now very much a part of the Middlesex County Cricket League. So we've got, you know, we've got a lot of divisions that we could potentially talk about here. I don't think we've got any chance at all of talking about all of the divisions in the county league in any detail. In fact, just talking about the eight first 11 divisions is going to be next to impossible. So we'll see what we can do. But if any representatives are listening from clubs lower down, we'll try our best to cover those divisions. And we're certainly going to look at what's going on through the season, and particularly when we see interesting results and interesting performances. But do forgive us if we're not so expert, if we're not so expert on some of the lower divisions. But we're looking and we're keen to find out more. I should also say it's Monday night here, and almost feel like, you know, Wednesday, transfer deadline day. It's not, of course, the same as transfer deadline day in the football, but it feels like the registration day is a big one. I know Paul Smith will be busy this week. Lots will be going on as clubs register players, and particularly the new clubs. So it's not implausible that things could change in the next 48 hours in terms of who pops up. And with that in mind, I mean, I'm trying to put all the caveats in now, guys, as to why the predictions we make are just going to be rubbish, right? I'm trying to cover our backs before we even get going. But with all that in mind, we're going to sort of start off by talking about the Prem. I guess it's the division most of us will inevitably know most about. But I'm going to start with you, Sal. You followed the Prem in detail for a long time now. Two questions. Is the Prem going to be stronger or weaker than we've seen it in previous years, or is it too tough to tell? And who are the sides to look out for? Where's your hunches at the moment?
Okay, so I definitely feel it's going to be stronger because we have players coming back, you know, the quality of Carlos Nunes from your club, Joel Hughes, North Middlesex captain, Andy Laws played for Ealing, Georgia there from Hampstead. You know, these guys had a season out for injury or other reasons and they're back for their club. So, you know, they'll definitely make their sides a lot stronger. And obviously with the full season this year, we're going to see some fantastic cricket being played, you know, in the time format and the overs format, and I think it's going to be quite a close call this year. I'm not, you know, I know you're going to ask later on for a prediction and who we think might win the league, but it's going to be a tough one. You know, sides have recruited well. I know North Middlesex have picked up some good players from Finchley. Hassan Khan's come over from Finchley, and Ealing have got a guy from Swardston who, you know, been the best club side in the country for quite a few years now. So he's not going to be sort of, you know, no sort of like, you know,
he's not going to be starting at the fours, is he?
Yeah. I don't think, well, seeing his score on Saturday, I think he got a quick 80 on Saturday for them. So Freddie Ruffle's name, so he's coming with sort of good sort of pedigree behind him. And obviously the champion Sellington, you know, they're not going to go down a right fight. I mean, what's interesting this year will be the Middlesex allocation and how much these players play, because obviously Northamptonshire have got four boys currently with Middlesex, and how much they can play may affect their chances. Tending could be the same situation. So it does make it quite open. You know, obviously you guys have done some good recruitment this year as well. I mean, we'll come into one of your players later on, potentially. And the Bush, you know, they're always a side to sort of look out for. And then you can't sort of, you know, even rule out teams like Bronsby and Crouching, who caused a few upsets last year. And again, will be a difficult side to beat on their day, you know, with some potential match winners who can, you know, change the course of the game with an innings or a spell of bowling. So it's going to be, it's going to be a really interesting season. I think it could be one that really almost goes to the wire.
Yeah, I think Crouchend's an interesting one. I don't know that much about the depth at Crouchend, but they always strike me as a side that prepare well. You made the point that their pre-season fixtures have all been against sides not in the Middlesex League, but good quality sides. And I'll be very interested to see how they go on, because it's sort of second season, even though it's not second season, isn't it? Because obviously last season was an odd one, but intrigued to see how they go on. I think they're going to be tough to beat at home.
Well, I think last year, I think last year was a bit of a positive situation for them, because they got to play games against Premier Division sides without having any sort of threat of really going down. So there was almost like every game was a bonus game for them. So they've had that preparation. They've obviously picked up everything to strengthen on. They worked out where they might need to recruit potentially as well. I did feel their seam attack is probably their weakest point. I do know they picked up one or two seam bobs this year. Spin department is, you know, it's probably one of the best in the league. And they've got a guy called, like, you know, Jalpesh Vijay, who on his day can destroy an attack. So they've got good balance to their side as well. And actually, they've got quite a lot of depth in their squad as well. So they've probably got 15, 16 sort of first team players who can all play, you know, at that level and perform and make a difference. So yeah, they've definitely got, you know, a bit more about them than maybe some sides, you know, may think. So, and correct point as well, at home, they're going to be definitely side to look out for.
Yeah. Sahil?
Yeah, no, very much so. I mean, they very much look like the team to watch out for. I feel like they've picked up a few players this year. You know, just looking at their twos, really, you know, feature a lot of players who were first team mainstays as they came up through Div 1. So I think they'll be, they'll give teams real tough game. And also, I guess it just boils down to how quickly they all gel.
Yeah, sounds about right to me. Matt, any angle on the Prem? Any thoughts about who you might think might be worth watching?
Tittington were the champions obviously last year. If the Australian guy that played last season, he sort of if he's playing for them again this season, no doubt they'll be there or thereabouts. He's a very destructive sort of a character. But no, a little bit about Crouch End, and we played them for 10-15 seasons. They've got really good quality spin attack, and like you say, they'll be tough to beat at home on their deck there.
Yeah. And they've got new groundsman this year, so that's something that could be interesting. Oz from North Mids come over to work for them in Hornsey, so he's doing like a dual job at the moment. So I mean, that could be interesting, what kind of wickets he prepares. You know, obviously they may ask for, I imagine, spin friendly. So if that's the case, then you'll see what he turns out. But yeah, go ahead, Dan, sorry.
Yeah, I was going to ask about Finchley, Sal. There's been a few comings and goings at Finchley, hasn't there? So
yeah,
have you got a grip on what's happened there?
Well, I think they've had a bit of a change in sort of like, obviously the captains. They've got Tom Powell, young lad, taking over the captaincy. And they seem to be going for like a sort of a youth policy, a younger sort of approach. I know Steve Selwood's come back to the club. Whether he'll play this much year, I'm not sure. But I know he's heavily involved in the coaching there, so he'll be working with the younger players. Whether he plays, I'm not sure entirely. I've asked, and they're not sure either. So it could be a tough year for them. You know, the old adage, you know, you don't win anything with youngsters. It's normally sort of proven quite correct, isn't it? So they'll have a lot of young players.
Look where that got United when it was famously said.
They put that off, obviously, yeah. So I feel it's going to be quite a tough year for them. You know yourself, the Prem is such a competitive division. There's no easy games. You are up against some very good cricketers, and it may just be a season where they sort of, you know, take a lot of, you know, the experiences they come across and maybe build upon in the future. As I mentioned, Hassan, who's been a captain and kind of stalwart and sort of carried the club in the last two, three of some great individual performances, he's now gone to North Middlesex. They've lost a young guy called Ted Shiopuri, who's the overseas player, and he's amazing talent, one to look out for. He played two games 2 years ago and scored a century and a 50, so he's one player everyone speaks highly of. And also there was a spinner called Uzi Amjad, who's played at Highgate, went to Finchley last year, and now he's gone to North Mid as well. So there's three players who will score your runs and take your wickets who have gone, and which obviously is going to be a big blow for them.
So North Mid sound like, even if they don't get their Middlesex players playing, I don't like saying Middlesex, but they're North Middlesex players who play for Middlesex, aren't they, really?
Yeah, exactly.
I remember Jack Leach famously said he was a club cricketer who played for England.
And all those four boys have come through the ranks. You know, they're not turned up in the club at 17, 18 and been picked. I mean, they're since, you know, we had Joe and Luke on the podcast last year, and you listened to them speak. They're boyhood friends, aren't they? They go back years. Ethan Bamba, Max Harris, you know, all guys who've grown up together. There's pictures of them around the club probably when they're 7, 8 years old. So, I mean, if they can get two of those playing every single week, along with the recruits they've got, and they've got another guy who's come from the Northampton Premier League as well. I think he got 50 at the weekend. So, you know, I'll say it now. They're my prediction to win the league this year, just based on the strength and having Joel back as well as a captain. And he's really hungry to get out there and play. You know, I spoke to him the other day, and he's raring to go. So, they're definitely, you know, you've got people like Tom Nicol and Evan Flowers, James Parslow. You know, these guys are seasoned cricketers in the league, so definitely a side. But again, they've had to change of grounds as well, so that'll be interesting to see what impact they have on their wickets. So, you know, these are the variables that always make the league so interesting.
Yeah, their twos could be decent.
I think so. Yeah.
It sounds like with all of those, that new talent, if the Middlesex boys do end up playing a little bit, then blimey, they could have a really
selection might be an issue. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I always think, though, that you have selection issues the first week, in the run-up to week one, and by the time you got to week four, you know, you're struggling for 55 players again. So I think every club in the county will...
On Matt's point, Harry Evans is back for attendance, and the overseas you mentioned, so he's re-signed again. So he'll be back to, obviously, take on many attacks as he did last season. So, yeah, all in all, as I said, it's going to be a fascinating season. There's some fantastic players at the clubs at the minute. You know, and it'll be some really good cricket being played. Hopefully, weather permitting, we get a full season of fixtures in.
Sal, a quick question from me. Well, given the difficulties last year with overseas, are you seeing any standouts in any of the other sides on that front?
I think clubs have found it quite difficult to get overseas. I know I spoke to Ealing and Christian Ealing, and he said it's quite tricky. Bush again had the same kind of issue. So I think, obviously, you know, travelling situation, I don't think clubs have probably gone out on a limb to get an overseas just due to complications involving paperwork and travel. So they probably looked more within the clubs and thought, how can we bring some youngsters through? I mean, I know the Bush have got a couple of good young players, and Matt highlighted Ramon Bailey last season as a young guy to watch, and he's one that Andrew Wilson definitely feels is going to be, you know, one to look out for this season. So I think it gives an opportunity for some of these younger guys to, you know, or even like the twos players. Richmond had a great season last year based on the fact they just brought players from their twos up and gave them opportunity to play in the ones. And, you know, a lot of them took it by scruff and neck and performed really, really well. So I think the overseas, North London, we are not getting overseas this season by the looks of it. So it does seem to be a trend amongst most clubs where they've kind of just shelved the idea of that happening.
Yeah, we thought about it at Twickenham. You look around, you wait and see people come into your orbit, but we're not going with an overseas. I have to say the rules over the last decade have become a little bit easier in terms of residency. You know, people don't actually have to live that long in the southeast of England now to be a resident. And also with the global pandemic being what it was, unless you're Robbo and you can get away to New Zealand for three and a half months, Robbo?
Yeah, 3.5 months. Yeah,
sounds brilliant to me. But it's going to be hard, isn't it, to get people in? So I expect a lot of clubs will have been open minded, but have not got anywhere. And as I say, at Twickenham, we haven't got an overseas player on the radar at all.
Saying that, Hampstead actually picked up two this year, so they managed to get their work done in regards to that. So, yeah, they've got
two. Do you know much about them? Where are they from?
They're both from New Zealand. I had a brief intro from Nick about them, two guys who are apparently good friends as well. So, that always helps when you come over to a new country. We've got a friend with you. Just going to add, obviously, I know the three of you are doing the same thing. We've got our previews coming out. I know Matt's already on the website. So, obviously, have a read of that when you get to, and mine should be on the website if you buy tomorrow. So, you will have all the info on which players are turned up where and, you know, what might happen during the season from what captains have told me.
Yep, mine will be finished at some point in the next 24 hours and will hopefully be up pretty quickly as well. There was one other thing I wanted to mention. I mean, we're banging on about Twickenham too much, but we have put through a nomination to play Monty Panesar this year. Not uncontroversial in some quarters, but Monty's doing an MA in sports journalism at St Mary's College, around the corner from us. and he's keen to sort of make this transition to a professional journalist. And one of the things he's also doing is working 2 days a week at Brentford. And as a fair few people listening to this will know, our the CEO at Brentford is the president of Twickenham, John Barney. And so we sort of had a perfect storm there. And Monty's going to be heavily involved with our juniors. He was down on Friday night. It's quite funny, actually. Juniors haven't got a clue who he is. Parents do. And queues of parents for autographs, whereas the kids were just playing cricket. You know, it's quite amusing to watch. But that's with the league at the moment. And I say that because it's Monday night and the league are processing it. And I think, quite understandably, the league are looking at it and you know, trying to make sure they understand what the relationship is, because of course in Middlesex you're not allowed to pay players and we're not paying him, but the league are looking at that quite closely. As I get, you know, I get it, he's got 167 test wickets, he's a serious player, but all being well, and so fingers crossed at our end at least that Monty will be you know, will be with us when we play Richmond on Saturday. So that makes predictions a little bit difficult. I mean, I don't think we're going to win the league with Monty Panesar, and we certainly aren't going to win it without it, would be what I would say. I think we might be a bit stronger than we were last year, but that I sort of throw that in the mix, in the knowledge that I'm going to ask you guys to give me a name. Who's going to win? Who's going to win the Premier League? Salman, do you want to first go? You've sort of given us a hint as to where you're going to go.
Yeah,
I'm writing these down, guys. So this is going to be held against you forevermore, just so you know.
I just feel North Middlesex have got some good quality additions to the squad. They've obviously been there before. They've won the league. They know what needs to be done to win the league. They've got some very experienced players within the club. I mean, you know, I will say nothing, but I genuinely feel below them there's a crop of clubs who could all challenge, you know, and I wouldn't be surprised if someone like Twickenham. I mean, again, it's one of them who gets a good start to the season. You win your first three or four games, you're in a great position. If you're chasing and trying to catch up, it makes life a lot harder. So, you know, it's one of them ones, you know, you've got subs like, you've got Richmond, Hampton, Tennanton, you know, Ealing, who've been there, seen it, done it. You know, got the newcomers crouching, could they be dark horses? You've got Bush and Twickenham, like you know, two guys, or two clubs, again, you've got some very good
So how big is that fence that you're sitting on there?
So I'm saying North Mid. I'm going to go North Mid, but I'm just saying, you know, I don't think it's been open like this for a while as a league. You know, we have an Ealing dominate in the past. Hampton have had a great run. Tennanton have their runs. I just think now it's a lot more open, just due to the quality of players have been some of the clubs, and you know, Monty Panesar is a fantastic example of that.
Well, Monty Panesar would also bring the best out of Parminder Singh, who's been with us for a long time, and Parminder's definitely playing this year, and he quite fancies bowling one end while, you know, Monty's at the other. So yeah, I think we will be a bit stronger. So I think we might be pushing it, but I don't think we score quite enough runs. And we're not very good at the limited overs cricket. If you look at our track record over the last 5 years, I don't know why. We should be, but we're not. So I think the fact that a team that makes sure it can win in both formats consistently will be the team that win the league. And I think that's where the good sides are different from the really good sides. So I, you know, I'm going to go North Mid as well, Sal, I'm afraid. I've written mine down beforehand.
Quintwell and Palmy, good to see him back last week. And he bowled a nice little spot in North London. Obviously, I wouldn't have them two in the club with chasing the ball too much.
We ain't going to be the best fielding side around, Sal.
You might have to think about some position for those two guys.
As I said to you on the boundary edge, Monty, he hasn't got a six-pack. He's got a barrel, Parminder, so, which is a bit harsh. Sorry, Palmy, if you're listening. But fielding-wise, we are definitely not going to be number one. But there we go. Sahil, any thoughts? Where's your hunches?
Yeah, sort of with you. North Mids, who've got written down, I still think it's their moment for now. I just think it'll be interesting because I think it's going to be a season where there's no runaway side, and I think everyone's going to take points of everyone. You know, there's as you say, Finchley look on paper to sort of have lost more than they've gained, but everyone else looks like on their day on when the deck's right, for example, they could take points of each other, which will only make it a really good season.
Yep, sounds logical enough to me. Yeah, Robbo, any thoughts?
Oh, you got a back a winning horse. I think Tiernan won it last year. They were taking a lot of confidence from that. Obviously, it was only all limited overs cricket last year, so. It's whether or not they can front up in the time matches. But, yeah, no, I'd go Teddington with a little eye on Ealing and Shivers Bush, because a couple of our juniors are at each one of those clubs. So, I'd go Teddington.
Well, I was thinking of going Shepherd's Bush because I just thought, well, you know, they're definitely a dark horse. They've been building over 5 or 6 years. They're not a million miles away. But ultimately, I didn't. But I want to say it now. I think Shepherd's Bush could be one to keep an eye on. And that's not just because they've got loads of guys who've got Shropshire connections.
having played them every season for the last six, seven, they're going in the right direction. I think it may be a season too soon, but I think they'll be thereabouts. And I think their time's coming quite soon.
Yeah. And how many times in previous years would you have done a podcast like this and not really mentioned Ealing?
Mm.
Interesting. I mean, I wouldn't count them out either, but they're not as prominent as they used to be, Sal, are they? They're one of a number now, I think. Anyway, moving into 2020.
I mean, yeah, you can never count them out, can you, with a record in the past? And again, the players they have at their disposal, like, you know, Ollie Wilkin and his brother Milo, you know, Scott Ensom, you know, fantastic cricketer as well. You know, obviously Christian Hall as a captain. And they said they've added, obviously, Freddie Ruffle. So, you know, again, they're going to be a side, you know, who won't be lying down too easily. But yeah, yeah, you're right. I just feel there's a couple of clubs stronger than them this season. And also the fact they do try and win every single competition. So again, they'll be firing on all fronts. You know, maybe that might detract away from some games at a weekend. I don't know. I'm just sort of being devil's advocate with them.
We will see. We will see. If we move into Division 1, Sahil, going to come to you first on this one, because obviously you play in it. I watch it a bit in terms of I do the weekly reports for the website. But you're at the coalface there. What are your thoughts on 2021?
Yeah, I think we're similar. I think we're going to be a lot stronger across the board. With a couple of early observations, I think a similar trend to the Prem, where I don't think we've got too many overseas coming in. I think Winchmahill have probably signed one, and there's maybe a couple of other clubs who've picked up bodies. But we're very similar. Had someone potentially lined up, but with the red list coming in, it was Indian, and it just wasn't going to work. And you know, we're quite happy with where we are, but I much prefer that. I think it makes it a much more of an even playing field down in Div 1. Yeah, I mean, I think the standout sides are going to be the same. I think Harrison Merries and Stanmore are probably still your sort of two to beat at this stage of the season. I understand Harrison Merries have picked up a couple of bodies, including another excellent spinner in Mahbub Alahi, who's, I think, last seen at Wickham House. But he's
Wickham House.
Just what they needed, wasn't it? Another spinner.
Exactly. So Harrison Merries will be strong. I think Stanmore know how to get things done in that division. And I think they've got a really good core of players who will keep performing, and I've no doubt they'll be thereabouts. And I think they've gone overseas. This is side outside that leading pack, who I think will be much improved from last season. I think maybe Winchmohill, who I think have picked up an overseas, who looks handy enough cricketer. I don't think he's got big numbers yet, but looks handy enough. And I think they've picked up Anand Ashok from Ealing, who was probably would be in the first team in the Prem in most of the sides, but wasn't really always in the ones at Ealing. And that gives them a pretty strong middle order of getting Stoughton and Anand Ashok, which is, you know, Div 1 is probably going to put some big numbers on the board, on their deck particularly. So I think they'll be a team who'll be much stronger than last season. And, you know, I think I'd like to think we'll be in the mix somewhere, injuries permitting. And, you know, I think we've been pretty good at winning tough games of cricket recently, and hopefully that will continue. And yeah, I think Highgate were the sort of fourth side last year, but I think they've had a big loss with Sandon Dyers, they're overseas and probably their best performer for a few years, jumping the fence to Crouch End, which I think will be a big loss. But they've got some good young cricketers, and I think last shout out from my perspective, Hornsey. Their four-pronged seam attack is...
Their bowling's good, isn't it?
Yeah. Exactly. Is as good as any in sort of any division, really. It's a question of whether their batting can fire if Les Bond Edwards doesn't. But, you know, they'll be a very, very good side. So I think it'll be overall a very, very competitive division. It's very hard to look beyond Stanmore and Harrison Merries at this stage, though.
Yeah, I spoke to Chetan from Hornsey the other week, and he was quietly confident. I think they've got three or four new bodies. No superstars, but three or four new guys that they're quietly hopeful will make an impact. And certainly with that bowling attack, you know, they do say that, you know, if you're going to get an overseas player, you get a batter to keep you up and a bowler to take you up. So that they, you know, they they have the bowling to get most sides out, I'd have thought. So I think Hornsey could be an interesting one to keep an eye on. Sal, any thoughts? There's a few sides in your hood that we've been talking about there. Is there any thoughts?
Yeah. I'm going to go Stanmore just because they've got the experience, and they've also got actually Abhishek Kulkarni back this season, who's a very good seam bowler. You know, played for Hertfordshire, so you know you've got a guy playing mining counties, playing in Div 1. A very good bowler, and obviously they retained their players from last season. They still have the Ryan Golds, young and old, still playing there as well. So they're obviously some very good players.
I think one of the Ryan Golds is not. I think one of the Ryan Golds is in South Wales.
Oh, it's Stephen. Okay, I'm sure he'll probably come back when he finishes junior, I imagine. Is that, or is he playing for a club down there?
I got the impression he's playing there. So
yeah, my understanding is that he's going to spend a majority of the season there, but that's just through the grapevine. And, you know, he's a club man, so he may well come down. And Abhishek played last year and, you know, was by far and away the best seamer in the division. And you know, he's going to be a handful when he plays 18 games.
Definitely. And I didn't know about Meb, who joined in Harris at Murray, so it is like a pretty lethal three left-arm spinners within your side. I mean, who gets to bowl will be a challenge for the captain. And I just kind of feel it might be a division of two halves where you've got a group of clubs probably pulling away in the top half, including Acton and the two I've mentioned. Then you might have a clutch of clubs towards the bottom. I mean, we played Highgate yesterday, and as Sahil mentioned, they've lost some players, and to be honest with you, they weren't great. From what I gather, it was more or less their first 11 as well. So I do feel they may have a tough year. They'll rely a lot on Will Barbary to score runs for them, and if he comes off, then they can post a big score. If
he gets scores out quickly, then he will, doesn't he?
Yeah, he doesn't hang around at all. If he gets out early like he did yesterday, then it could be quite a tough ask, and posting quite a big total. So, you know, I do feel they might have things a little bit harder this season. Again, with Enfield, again, I don't think they're the force they were. If Plum's playing, then obviously he's never played every line quite a lot. But I definitely feel, and you know, Osterley, we know Osterley, don't we? All of us, they're like, you know, they're like the kind of Arsenal of cricket, aren't they? You know, you don't know what you're going to get with them. So it's almost like...
What, would they still end up in the Super League? Is that not... Am I taking it too far?
You know, it depends which Osterley turns up on the day kind of thing. So I definitely feel we could get at some point during the season like a split taking place where, you know, four or five clubs pull away at the top and make it a bit of a, you know, two-division kind of scenario where there's teams fighting for relegation and there's teams fighting to try and win the title. But yeah, I'm going to go with Stanmore just based on the fact that, you know, you've got a side who's got to the national final. They've got players who have good quality, good experience. They know the league.
They're
as
also
well
a team that gets things done, aren't they?
Yeah.
They have a bad day, but somehow if they're five down and only 50 on the board, they may still get 200. I always felt that they had sort of depth and grittiness that could get them through, and that's not a bad choice.
There was a good balance within it. I mean, obviously, if Stephen's not playing, it will be a big loss because he's a very good player. You know, offers a lot of the bat and also bowls some handy offspin as well. So if he's not playing, it could be, you know, how do they replace him? But they do have a good youth policy as well, so they've got some good young players. They always look to push forward into the ones. So you know, the model they have there, I think, is a great model and it works. And yeah, I think this season may work for them in winning the league.
Yeah. Robbo, any thoughts on Div 1?
Yeah, it looks to be a bit of those sort of top northwest London clubs. But yeah, I've seen quite a bit of Acton this year, and obviously they're quite close to where our club is. And, you know, they're a real gritty bunch of players, and, you know, they don't lie down at all. So, you know, they'll be trying to fight hard in every game, whatever team they put out. You know, they've got reasonable depth as well. But yeah, no, I think it's going to be a battle of those two northwest London clubs on who takes it out. Yeah, that'd be my thoughts.
Can I have a name, Rob? I'm going to push you. So, who's going to win?
Oh, I'd probably go Stanmore. You know, they've been there, done that. They've got experience in the Premier League, and a little bit. Hear about the chap Ryan Gold not being available this year, or maybe not playing as much as he probably has done in the past. They might struggle a little bit, but yeah, no, I think Sam will be the team I'll be putting my money on.
Yeah, I think I think you know, it makes sense to look at them. They have done it before. As I say, they're a nuggety side. They get stuff done. Very good captain, Tush Career as well. He knows his way around things. I mean, my instinct was to go for Harris St Mary's. I think their bowling is very good. Ravi Patel, obviously another man who's been around a bit. And I think they're going to be quite hard to beat. I like your idea, Sal, about the league maybe having a set of strong sides and a set of sides that are struggling a bit more. I think I can see that logic. But I think Harris and Merrys are going to be are going to be tough to beat, and so I'm going to go for them. Okay, so Seal, just coming back to you, if you're going to have to pick a winner, and I appreciate that you know, your own club is in with a shout here, so we'll assume that Acton are not allowed. If it's not going to be Acton, who's it going to be?
Yeah, I'm trying to work out who I'd like to put the mockers on, basically. But I think it's going to be Sam Moore. I think they're slightly more rounded side. Harrison Merries will be there. I think there may be a batsman light, is my thinking. But I'm sure that's going to come back and bite me.
We will see. And as I said, I've written all these down. You know, these we will have a review at the end of the season to just, and we'll all be rubbish. The question is who's going to be most rubbish. So, I think we're all in the same ballpark there. Cool. I think it's going to be an interesting division. I'm looking forward to keeping an eye on that. And as was mentioned earlier, there'll be weekly reports up on all of the top divisions by the four of us. So keep an eye on those. Division two, Robbo, we're getting slowly into your territory here. You're going to know more about these teams than us. I'm going to start with you. What's going to happen in Division two?
Yeah, well, Southampton were the champions last year. I think they've got a good side. You know, I know there's a lot of belief within their club to push on after having a two or three, you know, troubled years. They got some solid batsmen, guys who can find the fence. Whether or not they can do it in that time cricket, because obviously it wasn't the last season. But yeah, I think Southampton would be a good shout for that league.
Any dark horses?
Oh, it's a tough one, isn't it? You can't really write off, you know, you got Southgate in that league. And, as we know, they're a big established club and many years in the Premier League. So, I think you couldn't really write off them. I think they'll be there or thereabouts, no doubt.
Yeah. Can you think of anyone else who might be there or thereabouts, Sal?
Again, it's going to be like, I think it's going to be like Division 1, where we may get a group of sides pulling away at the top and a group at the bottom sort of just battling it out. I mean, obviously Southampton won last year, and it was a great achievement for them. No one probably gave them a chance at the end of the season. So for them to do it, it was fantastic, and I'm sure they'll be looking to do the same again. But then again, you've got Eastcote, who are strong. I know Sahil played Wickham House yesterday, and I know he gave them a bit of a beating, but they've managed to get Amin Quadri, who's a fantastic batsman, and he got 50, I think, yesterday against UCL, didn't he?
He did. Didn't take many balls. I've been running the rule down some of the sides here, and I know you're too modest to say this, Salman, but I reckon North London will be up there. They've always been.
Trying to bowl you a long half volley there, Sal. I'm not sure it worked. Yeah, but I thought North London had a chance.
No, I mean North London have always had a pretty good sort of bunch of cricketers up in there, and it's quite similar, you know. I feel with North London, you always sort of look down the team sheet and you think, oh, hang on, maybe they're not in contention, but they always seem to be there, thereabouts, always in the third, second, you know, they've had your little up and down as well, going to Div 1 and back down. And that side looks great. I had a quick chat with Sam Borden yesterday, and he seems pretty optimistic about things. But the Wickham House side looks good. They're very young and hungry. And I think they've got a really good plan in place there. And I think Aman is someone who guarantees sort of 500-600 runs in that division. So I think that's probably going to be the signing of the season. The others, the sort of usual suspects on there. Southgate with Ash back for a full season. I know they've picked up one or two more players, and I think Eastcote. So I think it's going to be between those four. Southampton, you know, hard to read too much into last year. I think they'll be good and competitive, but for me, probably not in that spot one and two.
So you're going, who are you going for there? Can I just be crystal clear on that one, Sahil? You're going for North London? Or
I'm going to go North London, actually.
I think Barnes are another club who sort of sometimes, you know, show the ability to do well and then end up sort of falling away. So again, it's about the start. Who gets a good start to the season? I mean, Wickham House had a good start and they just fell away completely last year. So I'm sure they'll be looking to sort of like improve on that. And my own club, Seals gave us a good blown report and I can only back that up. I do feel we're strong in terms of like personnel that we have within the club. The structure of the club is in a good place. Everything's going in the right direction. So I'm really hopeful that we are in those top two places come September. Yeah, I mean, I don't think we've had a stronger side as we have now for a good few years. from my recollection. So, you know, I'm quite excited about what happens at North London this season.
So North London to one side. Sal, who's going to be next after North London?
Oh, good question. I'm gonna go with Southgate.
Mm. I was hoping you wouldn't say that because I was going to go with Southgate again. It's more that, you know, I've heard they picked up a couple in the winter. They had a good season last year, didn't they? They were quite solid. Yeah.
They came in quite, you know, with a late one. I mean, I will say back up to, I mean, you know, I'm on a Wickham House. He's, you know, he's a Div 1 batsman. You know, he's a quality player. Again, if he gets going and he can get, you know, 450, 500 runs a season for them, then that could, you know, help them massively. But I do feel they might rely on him a bit too much sometimes.
We shall see. We shall see. Cool. So Southgate, North London, South Amster, three different sides mentioned there between the four of us. So says that it might be reasonably open if we can't come to any consensus, which is all good. How about Division 3, Robbo? What are your thoughts there? Obviously, Actonians in that one.
Yeah, I think Kenton and Harrow Town, I think, will be the two clubs which will go close. Yeah, Actonians obviously were second there last year, so yeah, hopefully we'll be there or thereabouts as well. But, you know, Kenton, they've got the majority of their squad back other than Shawkat Faroes, who's gone to Kenton, which is a bit of a loss for them. But they've got their left arm slow bowler, Tudor Mukesh, back. So that will really, really help them. But last year, interesting enough, in Division 4, there was no partnerships of more than 100 in the league the whole season. So it's really a bowler's division. So it's really whether or not clubs can throw out batsmen who can, you know, get 600, 700, 800 runs during the season and really blow teams away with their batting.
So there wasn't a single 100 partnership.
It's quite amazing.
Wow.
Quite amazing. I don't know if that's down to quality of the wickets or just the bowling is just far better than the batting. I'm not sure. Or just the lack of application by batsmen in that league. I've got no real idea. But, we didn't see a single 100-run partnership in that league. So it's whether or not, it's what club can really really dominate with the bat and, like I say, blow teams away. Because really last year, 200, 220 was a winning total. You saw a lot of games, you know, 140 plays, you know, 90 and this sort of thing. So, look out for the bats. And I think Harrow Town getting Faroes across to their side is going to help them a lot. And they've picked up a couple of players from chaps come from the Tamils, and they've got another guy from the Hearts League. I think they're going to be a lot stronger.
I think the guy, sorry, just to jump in, Matt, Mohibullah Oryakul, who
played
for Ealing.
Yes,
he's a serious cricketer and an Afghan international. He's a serious cricketer. He's far too good for that level. And if they get him for 18 weeks, they will do some serious damage.
Batting with Faroes, they're gonna score some big runs.
See, that's it. That of course has completely blown my thinking in this division apart. I didn't realise it was an Afghan international knocking around. So Robert, you're going Harrow Town, are you, or Kenton?
Oh, I think Kenton. I think Kenton sort of overall will probably have the most depth across their squad to do the damage. But I wouldn't write off Harrow Town. I wouldn't write off ourselves. We picked a chap up from the Lincolnshire Premier League. Now, I don't know how strong that league is compared to, you know, like the Surrey or the Middlesex leagues, but, you know, he seems like a pretty decent cricketer. We put another guy up from Taplow as well, so, you know, we'll be all right. But it's just whether or not our club's just got enough batting in that top five to really, really challenge and knock sides over. So, I'm going Kenton.
Fair enough, Sahil. Any thoughts on Div 3?
A bit more of an unknown now, but I think I'm going to go Harrow Town. Just looking at some of the names down that list of in their side. Mm-hmm.
Fair enough, Sal. Any thoughts?
I'm going to go just on the fact we had him on the podcast a couple of weeks back, and it's their 100th year, Kenton. Just because Ankit came on. He's a nice guy.
I like the logic there. I've got a bit of this logic later on with some of the other divisions. It's their 100th year, therefore, you know, that's enough for me. You know? But I think Kenton it was a tough year for them last year. Certainly one of their members passed away early because of COVID, and I think that the club was really hit by that. So, I suspect this year will be a bit of a bounce back year, and I went for Kenton, and I've got a feeling that they're a side that once they get on a roll, they're going to be quite tough to get past. So, So that was my thinking on that one. We're now into territory where I'm a little bit less certain than I was before, and that's Division 4. Now, I don't know, who wants to have first stab at Division 4? Where do we think that one's going to go this year?
Yeah, I know a little bit about some of the clubs in that division. Yep. You know, got Pierreville Phoenicians and Alexander Park, who spent many years in Division 1 of the Championship as it was.
They're good traditional clubs, aren't they? Both of them.
Absolutely, yeah. Alexander Park, obviously, probably the weaker of those, you know, those six clubs in that sort of Shepherd's Quad area, but you know, they've got good player depth, they've got a really good feeling amongst their club, and unfortunately they just don't, you know, they don't pick up those you know, exceptional players who are moving to London, etc. But I think they'll do well in that league. Pierreville Phoenicians, again, you know, they've got some good cricketers that, you know, will perform well at that level, so I think those two clubs will go close.
Which one are you going for then? Come on, Robert.
I'll have to go for my mates down the road there. Pierreville Phoenicians, I think, will do the damage.
Interesting. Keep an eye on that one. Sal, any thoughts on this division?
I was actually going to go for AP as well, just based on geographical location being not close enough to our club.
There's a lot of science involved here, isn't there? No, that's fair. I've always found AP to be a club that was perhaps batting slightly lower than their average. I always felt they had a lot of sides out. I certainly always, you know, found it a nice place to play. They do strike me as a side that should be doing okay in this division. Sahil, any thoughts?
No, I think Pierreville, the side we probably I'm most familiar with, and you know, they've not got bad cricketers at all. I think that there's a couple of very good cricketers down there, and I think they could do some damage. It's also quite surprising now. I mean, Bessborough were not long gone in sort of Division 1 and 2, so if they've got their structure right again, I'm sure they're not going to struggle to track players back in. So, you know, I don't know what's happened in the winter, but, you know, let's give them an outside shout as well.
I was going to flag Bessborough up because I remember when I came to Middlesex 20 years ago, Bessborough were one of the bigger clubs in a way, or one of the most, you know, clubs that you certainly knew, but they've definitely hit on harder times. Sal, have you got an angle on whether that's likely to improve, or is this not on your radar?
I just feel it's like there's so many clubs are in that area, isn't it? I mean, attracting players must be so difficult. You look at some of the clubs around that area, you know, can't expect to think, I mean, they are. So obviously, you know, if you get an offer of going up a division to play for one of the better clubs, then you're going to go. And I think that's what happened to Bessborough. I remember when I first played, you know, North London years back, and they had some very good players in their first 11. And I just think as they've gone down, they've lost a bit of players to the clubs who are in the higher division. So, you know, it's obviously had a knock-on effect to the rest of the 11s as well, which is a shame because it's a nice club. I know Dean Wilson, the Daily Mirror cricket correspondent, he used to play for them years back, so... You know, they've had some sort of, and they've had guys who, you know, in the Middlesex sports again, they had some very good sort of cults. Well, Mark Brambrick has started here, so, you know, but again, I just think there's so many clubs nowadays within that kind of northwest London area now. To attract players must be so tricky, you know, what's the criteria, and when people arrive to join a club, you know, is it local? Do they look at league tables, you know?
I think a lot of people end up at clubs just because they somehow know somebody there, don't they? So if you can get somebody who brings in two or three of his mates and they're good, then that can really change the dynamic of a club quite quickly, actually, as well. Mm. I was going to throw one other into the ring, and this may be totally left field, but we hired their ground for our third 11, who've had real ground issues this year, and they've got great facilities now, and that's London Tigers. And I always think London Tigers, I don't know much about the on-field sort of story there, but I think that where they play in Saythorn now is certainly much better than it used to be. And from what I can tell, that they go big, they go quick, or they go home. and I've got the feeling that, you know, if that works for you, that then you can win games of cricket. So based on nothing more really than we've hired one of their grounds for our third 11, I'm going to go with London Tigers. And we'll see where that takes me. Probably
nowhere. You've got some really good juniors, London Tigers,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, I heard this.
Yeah, you got a reasonable setup, and obviously they're in an area where, you know, people love cricket. So, and obviously the old Southall Cricket Club's gone, and they've got a great catchment in there. It's just whether they can really push on into the divisions, and look out
like
for
those clubs. I bet it'll be availability, a bit of luck with tosses and all the rest of it. So if things go their way, I think they might have an outside chance, but that's based on not a massive amount, I'll be honest. But there we go, we'll see where that takes me. Cool. Now we're getting into really new territory. Division 5, chaps. What do you know about Division 5? Any hunches there? Who wants to go first on that one?
I'll have a crack. I'm going to go with New Calypsonians.
Okay.
Who I think they was in maybe a couple of divisions above a couple of years back, or at least one above. But they've got a couple. They've got the Farley brothers playing there. Vincent Farley, he's played for Southampton.
Oh, really?
He's a road destructive all-rounder. Along with his brother Fabian and Graham. So they've got, you know, some useful players who could easily take a team apart quite easy on their day. So I'm going to put my neck on the line and go with those guys.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And anybody else? Robbo, what are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, Kensington and Chelsea, they're formed about 1995. They play the cricket in Chiswick at Duke's Meadows. I actually almost joined that club because I had a mate that I played cricket with in New Zealand and he played there, but... as it turned out, went to Actonians. But, you know, they've got two or three sides. They've got some reasonable cricketers as well. So they have played in the division above. So, yeah, they'll be there or thereabouts.
Fair enough. What about Ealing Three Bridges? What do you know about those guys? So that's obviously in your hood as well. Is there anything worth...
I think they now play at the old Harrow St Mary's ground. Is it the Harrow? Yeah. So the funny thing about that little club, it shows probably the club cricket nerd in me, but that was formed by the workers at the old Hanwell Lunatic Asylum. Sure. But I don't... but,
lines I don't think, had, isn't
it? Yeah. So, but now that... Now I don't know if they'll have any staff that work there anymore, but they play up in Harrow, so yeah, I don't really know much about them other than that.
Fair enough. Shaheel, any thoughts on this one?
No, I mean I was instinctively, I guess, going Kensington and Chelsea. It's the team I've heard the most about. I mean, I think part of the merger, the best part about the merger is probably us getting introduced to more and more clubs in the region, and
totally.
It'll be interesting to see them rising through the ranks and falling through the ranks, and I think that'll be great. So Kensington and Chelsea are just a few familiar names there, and you know, I think they've got a few decent cricketers down there, so that's where my money's going.
Yep. Well, our fours played Priory Park Twos the other day, and I think our fours won. I think they scored a few runs, but they said that, you know, Priory Park weren't the worst side they'd ever played, and they're a club whose first team are in that division. For no other reason than our fours played their twos in a friendly, I'm going to go with Priory Park. I did think Kensington Chelsea, but that's simply because they've been around a bit more, and I remember them from the Championship. They've got three sides, Robbo, haven't they? They've got,
yep.
And they're well set. I think they'll be up there too. But I heard one or two reports that their twos weren't the worst team in the world. So more through hope than expectation. I'm going to go with. Going to go with Priory Park there. Sal, what was you were Calypsonians, weren't you? Is that right?
Yeah, new Calypsonians. Yeah.
Okay. Well, good. What about Division 6, fellas? Sal, do you want to start us off with that one?
Tricky one. I'm going to go with Regent's Park, just based on the fact it's Regent's Park. No, I mean joking.
Why not? Yeah. Got to get the rest.
Well,
of
they must have some decent. Yeah, you know, I'm sure they've got some quite affluent players playing for them. They play at Regent's Park. It's a local ground to them. Again, it's one that anyone could win, I suppose. I have no knowledge of his club, unfortunately, which I'll try and find some more as the season goes on. But I think I'm going to go with Regent's Park, just on the basis they may, you know, pick up one or two decent players who, you know, just live maybe locally and want to play cricket in a park.
Yep. Do you know anything about Youth Wing? I know they were in the Championship. I remember the name, but it's not linked to Feltham, is it? The Young Offenders Institute? I'm sort of asking that semi-seriously. I don't know. Feltham's in Middlesex, isn't it?
True.
Mm-hmm. It's not going to be an interesting away game, depending on where they play. I don't know who they are, and I may be completely wrong. I probably am completely wrong there, but yeah, and also I thought you were going to go Willow Leather, Sal.
My best bet's coming up in the next division.
Oh, I know you're going to come. I've got that.
Don't spoil it.
So, Neil, any thoughts? Who are you going to go?
Not really. I mean, I think I wonder. I know very little about these clubs. Maybe Victoria Park, if they've got some spillover from a huge talent pool that exists in that pocket of London. You know, any spillover from Tower Hamlets, maybe playing over in Victoria Park. That's
the best you got.
Yeah, I'll stick a fiver on that.
Good, cool, crikey, you are brave. I'm not sure I put any anything like that on my prediction. But yeah, fair comment. Robbo, any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I quite like the look of Victoria Park. I think, you know, it's a real hotbed. You know, big Bangladeshi community there, and obviously they love the cricket, those guys. So, yeah, no, I'd have a crack with Victoria Park. Yeah.
Fair enough.
They might do the damage.
On this one, I wanted to go Willow Leather just because it was an interesting name for a cricket club, but I didn't go there. Kingsbury Construction have been around for ages. I remember them in the championship. Never played against them, but I remember them as being a club that was around. And South Harrow have been around a bit as well. And again, there's so many potential cricketers in Harrow that I do wonder whether they might be worth a punt. So I've gone for South Harrow really, and that's simply because I vaguely remember them in the championship and they've been around a little bit. So South Harrow is my pick based on pretty much zilch. But I'm, as I stressed at the beginning, we're looking to see how these divisions develop and very keen to speak to folks about what happens on the pitch. So do get in touch with us to teach us a bit more about what's going on. Last but not least, guys. Now hold it, Sal. Hold it. Are you ready, Sal? Division 7. Where are you going?
So you obviously mentioned Willow Leather has been a great name. No one can beat Ultimate Orioles, can they? For a name for a group.
Oh, fantastic!
I mean, come on. You know they are my second team now. I've adopted them after seeing them obviously join our league last season. I think it might have been. And you know, I mean, and it, actually they're great entertainment. We did get some tweets from them on our Twitter page and. They're keen to come on as well, actually. So maybe we'd have to try and arrange that during the season at some point. But, you know, their cricket is played like the actual wrestler used to wrestle. So
I imagine that's what he said. We play our cricket like the ultimate wrestler wrestles.
Yeah. And then and the logo is actually the ultimate warrior on their cricket shirt. So
I love that they've embraced it in all its glory. That's the way to do, isn't it?
It's fantastic. So I'm definitely on the side of all the ultimate warriors and I'll be checking their scores every Sunday evening to see how they've got on.
I'm looking forward to that brand of cricket, though. The Ultimate Warrior brand of cricket. I mean, what on earth that will be, I don't know. But it sounds like something to keep
tell you
an
what,
eye
the bowlers,
on.
If they bowl like he used to run up, then I imagine there'll be some quick pity loose coming down.
Yeah, I hope there's no clotheslining of an umpire.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That wouldn't have done well, would it?
And it's celebration would be even wilder, won't they?
Yeah. Can you bring any sanity to this proceeding? Probably not.
No. Oh, gotta be the Warriors. Yeah. What a name. Yeah, just betting on the name alone. So, yeah,
a bit
all day long. Yeah.
Teal, any thoughts?
Well, I'm actually going. I'm going with Picos, and there's a personal reason to this. I spent many a year in Bangalore, and Picos is an iconic pub in Bangalore. And having had a quick look at the Picos CC website, it says it was formed over a chance meeting in a pub, and I wonder whether it all ties back to a meeting in one of my favourite pubs of all time. And would that be a story? And if that is the case, please do get in touch because I might be looking to switch clubs.
Hey, that's not... Never let it be said that people on this podcast don't know stuff. I mean, that's brilliant, that is. I mean, so I was trying to think what Picos might mean, but I can't think of anything. So that... unless
yeah,
it's...
It was a pair of pubs called Picos and Mojos in the heart of a Bangalore student city when it was still a very good student city. It's a great, great place, great memories.
Fair enough. I mean, there are some good names in this division. I have to say, the Ultimate Warriors is the standout one, but the London Super Kings. I mean, for me, Super Kings will always be a brand of cigarettes. I mean, I appreciate there are cricket clubs or cricket teams in India now that take on that mantle, but I can't really go for a brand of cigarettes. So they're out my thinking. London Sportif. I quite like the sound of it. Again, I know nothing about them, but they're in there. But I'm going to go simply because it's another totally left field name. I'm going to go for the Stallions. And again, I know nothing about them, but I mean, Stallions Cricket Club. I mean, it just sounds a bit left field, not as left field as Ultimate Warriors, but a bit left field. So I'm going to be wishing the Stallions well and hoping they come through this season to get promoted. Not 10 teams in that division. That's a slightly smaller division than the rest. There's only 6 teams in it. So it'll be a slightly more truncated season for those guys, but I'm sure it'll be no less competitive. Folks, we've gone through the top 8 there, and as we've sort of pointed out before, we're cricket badgers, but we don't know an awful lot of stuff, and there's an awful lot of potential here for this to be a fascinating season with new clubs doing new things, frequently with some pretty good players knocking around. So if you got this far, then do keep us up to date on what you're doing. Sal and I will ramble on about anything, but we have to know that anything exists. So do keep us up to date. Get those scorecards on Play Cricket. You can certainly get a hold of me via contact details on Twickenham's page, so drop me a WhatsApp message or whatever, and we'll try and cover whatever's worth covering in whatever detail we can on a weekly basis from next week. With that in mind, guys, anything you want to wrap up with here moving forward? Sal, any last words for us?
No, just hope we get some good weather this week and some good games at the weekend, get the season going.
Absolutely. Sahil, any thoughts?
No, just gone after discussion on the last spot, can't wait for my Thai curry at Highgate on Saturday, that's all.
Oh, you're at Highgate on Saturday, are you?
Fantastic. We are, indeed.
Fantastic. Great stuff. Robert, where do you start out this week? Are you playing?
Now I'm going to be on the hydro slide at Cena Parks, actually, this weekend. So really? That's where I'll be going. I wasn't too happy about that when I heard we're going to Cena Parks on the first league week. But, such is life. We'll go and enjoy that. Just quickly as well. We've got the Sovereign, the Division 3 sides have created a side in the Sovereign Cup, which is the league competition of all the different leagues in the southeast of England. So can I quickly just name the team there for that competition? I'll just run it through it quickly. I know you. The team is Shawcat Farrows.
There's music here, don't we? Just build it up, but I've got them all.
Shawcat Farrows from Harrowtown, Gurpreet Dhami, Actonians, Hanif Alexander from Ealing Trailfinders, Prayesh Makwana from Headstone Manor, Kalpesh Karai from Kenton, who's the captain, Viraj Patel from Kenton, Dylan Asani from Headstone Manor, Charles Urban from Kenton, Leith Cowie from Chiswick, and Shahzad Hussain from Actonians. We're going to leave one spot open for someone who does well in those first few weeks. So, yeah. I just thought I'd just get that one in there. Cheers, Dan.
Matt, have we got a date yet for the game? Yes, Dan.
Yeah, we're taking on the Caribbean Cup 11 in Catford on Wednesday the 26th of May. So if anyone's in that area. Caribbean Cup 11, yeah. So I think it's a West Indian competition, Sunday competition that they play, maybe in North London or something somewhere or other. So they pick a side out of those four or five teams. I don't know how sort of strong they're going to be, but I guess we'll find out at the end of May there.
But you know Catford's in South London, not in North London.
Yes. So I think the teams play up and around North London, but the game's in Catford for whatever reason. So there may be a couple of teams down there, but Catford's in South London. Yeah. Thanks for pointing that out, Sal.
Intriguing stuff. Look forward to seeing how that one develops. And in terms of your playing season, Robbo, you're going to get a few games in, right? So I know you didn't play so much last year, but you're looking for sort of once Centre Parks has been done and dusted.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. I'll be back into it. Probably rolling around the twos, threes or fours or something or other, filling my Saturdays in and keep an eye for a mic here and places like that. So, yeah, that's what
I'll be doing. All good. And don't lose your car keys.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Sal, what are you up to, Saturday? Are you going to be in the cot somewhere, right?
I'm starting to umpire now, so I might be doing a game Saturday. So firing some people out who annoy me.
Do you know where you're going to be yet or not?
I think I'm going to be helping out one of the clubs. North London have got someone for this weekend, so I might be getting the game somewhere else, but I haven't confirmed that yet. But yeah, super. And then I'll be doing some games North London as the season goes on. Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Well, I think I'm likely to be in R3s on Saturday, I think, and that means a lovely trek to Southgate. So I always like playing at Southgate, but it's just such a long way from Twickenham. But you might as well get out of the way early doors. So the North Circ beckons for the first time this season, which is all fine. Fellas, it's been a pleasure and a privilege as ever. As I say, I'm looking forward to seeing how the predictions goes and how the cricket develops, and we'll no doubt catch up in due course. Thanks a lot.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers, folks.
Podcast Network.